This is part two of the success call with Nate Martinez.
Well, Nate, you've mentioned your team a couple times. Let's do that. Let's talk about your team. Can you tell us who's on the team and what do they do? And I'm looking for team titles or positions and then responsibilities.
Okay. I mean, you're going to find it to be really interesting and simple. Christine is kind of my right hand. She runs the Freddie account, listing and selling. In times past, when we were doing a lot of volume, we had a specialist for each REO. We had one person doing Fannie, one person doing Freddie, one person doing Wells. You know, just they were specialized. At other times, we had people doing the setup of the REO. It didn't matter which vendor it was we were working for, but they were turning on the utilities, getting the trash out, the landscaping. And then somebody else was handling the contracts negotiation, and somebody else was closing. So today we have Christine. She does all that, and she does it for Freddie, and she also does our equity sellers. So she's a phenomenal woman, and she just takes control and has a very positive attitude. So basically her title is endless. So she doesn't really have a title other than she's my right hand, okay? And I think she's, listing to the normal sellers out there, she's my listing manager. On the other hand, sitting across from her is my daughter, Brandy, who's about 31 years old, and she runs the Fannie Mae account. And as the market started slowing down, we kind of pushed her more towards being a buyer's agent. So she's kind of running buyers and controlling the Fannie Mae contract. And she pretty much handles a little bit of property management for us, and so that's basically her job. And then my son, Nate, who's been licensed a little over a year but been on the team for about 3 or 4, was kind of one of our guys on our REO team that went out when we first got an assignment, check occupancy, taking all the pictures, preparing all the data for the BPOs. And this kid's done well over 1,000 BPOs in his day, pretty good at pricing homes. And his focus is as a buyer's agent and then still with both Fannie and Freddie doing all the BPOs for those two entities. And then my spouse, Tanya, is kind of a stay-at-home mom / realtor. And I think myself, that's it. Very small. And then I do have one of the gals that worked for me for 15 years, Sarah. I decided to share her for many reasons. One, she was getting burnt out after 15 years on my team working for me and during the slowdown. She has a gift, and that's a gift of writing and stuff. That she wrote her first book this year, got it published, doing well with that. She kind of helps some of our marketing. She helps do all the copyright. She has that gift. She can make a house sound beautiful online, so she kind of manages my websites. And she's more of a virtual assistant, and she does that for many agents within our firm now. So that works out real well. So being that she's not in here full-time, she's probably working about 20 hours a week on top of the team that I just mentioned. And then, within our real estate company, we have different departments. Like I have somebody that designs all my marketing. I kind of share with RE/MAX professionals. We may need to add somebody, but, I'm trying to be cheap now. I would say in the future, Mike, because one of the other hats I wear is I kind of try to help the agents. We got 165 agents in our firm, and I try to meet and help and be there to bounce off ideas, kind of the mentor coach, as much as these guys are all pretty independent, but I'm always there to help them out. But my focus probably would be to get one of my team members to maybe step up and start going on the listing appointments. I kind of took the listing appointment by the bull by the horns, if you will, 6 months ago as we started to get back into that space with this marketing. Quite frankly, I like it. I'm doing a very small geographic area. I'm doing a nice price point. But and trying to get my two kids to get a little more confidence in being better at the listing piece. They're very comfortable with buyers, very comfortable with the REO piece, because that's what they both grew up doing. And then Tanya, we have a 3-year-old, so she's a full-time mom and getting more and more back into the real estate business as our daughter's, over 3 years old now. So she's starting to take some listings for me again, but I probably need to replace myself by somebody stronger and going on more listing appointments. in the future. So that'll be a new team member, a new team position that we're getting ready to do now.
Well, this is an interesting team dynamic. You've got several family members on the team. And my question to you is, do you have some type of concept for the future? Do you plan on turning the team over to a family member? Are you trying to groom somebody for that? Or have you just not even thought about it?
No, it's all been thought about. You know, it was probably thought about 23 years ago when I named my son the same name as mine, you know. But no, you know, I think the nice thing is like we literally got four generations. My son's in his 20s, my daughter's in her 30s, Tanya's in her 40s, and I'm in my 50s. So we're getting ready to have some fun with some marketing here shortly where we haven't done any team marketing in a while. So we're going to have some fun with that. But, you know, I'd like to work for another 10 years, at a similar level. You know, I'm 53 now. So, you know, if I get to 60 and, you know, and I'm spending more and more time coaching, motivating, and maybe just running the team. But, yeah, you know, I would love for my family to take over the business.
You've mentioned this other business that you have, the fact that you have run office. In fact, multiple offices with a partner. It sounds like you have 6 RE/MAX offices going. That's a whole other dynamic there. How long have you been doing that, where you've been one of the owners of the offices rather than just one of the practitioners inside?
Well, I joined RE/MAX like 22 years ago, and about 12 years ago, I decided I wanted to have my own office. I don't recommend this for people to go out and open your own office, but, you know, that's what we did. You know, again, that was probably an ego-driven idea. But, you know, we were trying to control our home environment. We wanted things to be done our way, you know. And so, you know, I talked Frank Russo, my business partner, into being my partner. We were both realtors at the same location. And we did that. We had pretty good success in the first couple of years. And, I mean, quite frankly, it was quite scary. The day our first office meeting was on September 11th, 2001. Our TIs were not even completed on the space that we had committed to for 5 years, and it was a very sad day in the history of the world, but it was very scary for us as realtors becoming brokers in an unsettled economy. I mean, it was a mess. Everybody we thought that was going to come with us in our adventure of recruiting, right, committed, they're coming over, and then that happened and nobody came. And, you know, probably took like a year for everybody to start feeling comfortable about moving again. You know, eventually, we ended up buying, 2 years ago, we bought our old broker out. Ed was a great guy. He came straight to us. We kind of competed within the same market area without stepping on each other's toes, if you will, for agents, and came to us with that respect and offered his company to us. So we purchased RE/MAX Integrity 2 years ago, which doubled our size from 3 offices to 6. Since then, we spent the last 2 years kind of remodeling, retraining, you know, merging the two cultures into one. Feel pretty good about it now. You know, it's been a long 2 years because our market still was falling, and people, you know, if you were a broker owner in the Phoenix market or any of these tough markets, to survive what happened the last 6-7 years to market values, to agent commissions, you know, we've had agents lose their houses and some losing everything, you know, and staying in the game. And a lot of them, you know, left our firm just based on the economy, you know. So it was a tough couple of years, or a tough 5-6 years. But now we feel pretty confident. We're strong. We're lean, mean. And our agents, matter of fact, we have our agents in our office average 24.4 transaction sides per year. It's the highest in Maricopa County. One of the highest in the country, according to the latest RealTrend Top 500 Broker Report just came out. So we're pretty proud of that.
What do you attribute that high closings per agent count to? What are you doing that's different than everybody else?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to both Frank and I. You know, I mean, we got involved in education and star power way back and implementing the best ideas from the best people in the business, just like you're doing today. You know, you're sharing great ideas from great people. And so we were good implementers of that type of stuff. And then we had teams, and we were always a team-centric office. We're an agent-centric office more than a broker-centric. So, you know, we were kind of realtors first and owners second. in our value system and the decisions we make are usually based more on the agent and making sure that we're providing the services that, that benefit the agent to grow. So I think that's one reason. We share everything. We have training every single week. We share every idea, every marketing idea, our successes, our failures. What's really exciting when you get some of the top agents of the company calling you asking your advice on a marketing piece or something, and you're able to kind of help them maybe tweak it a little bit so they can maybe get a little bit better result. But we got good people. I mean, we're just two guys that have a vision to provide great service to our agents and again, to attract and retain the agents that we have, you know. I feel really good about it, you know. So, but yeah, I think just, you know, we create the services and teach them how to build a team, and I think that's why we have such great production.
Let's talk about time management. How do you keep control of your time?
Wow, you think I have control of my time? So that's the one challenge that, you know, I'm the type of guy that wakes up super early in the morning, and, you know, I wish I can have better time management, but, you know, I do try to focus my day before it gets going on trying to just start the morning off. I like to say hitting the gym every day and, you know, these are my goals, and sometimes I get 3 or 4 or 5, 6 months, and then I'll get off it for a while. But I would say, realistically, I'm up in the morning. Before I go to work, I like to spend some time just getting caught up on the day, knocking out all the emails. Because once the day starts, I probably won't touch the emails again until the next day. I'll have my son go through and sort the emails and inform me of what I need to communicate, you know, and get back to on, and the rest are probably delegated out. You know, I have a 3-year-old, you know, and so that takes time. So I try to focus, you know, when I leave the house in the morning around 8:30, 9 o'clock, I try to get back at 5:30, 6 o'clock is kind of the range, and I try to take weekends off. So that's the focus. Does it always happen that way? I would say it pretty much does. You know, now that we're doing this marketing, I did my first open house in a couple months. I went to do 1 hour on Sunday. We had so much activity, I ended up staying 3 hours. It was just like a zoo of people coming through. But it was fun. It was in the neighborhood I want to work, and meeting all the neighbors and the people coming through was kind of nice. So the time management part is something I struggle and work on every day. But I try to work off a perfect day and a perfect week, and I have things blocked out to do every day. And set my appointments, like, you know, I try to set my listing appointments between 2 and 6 o'clock. I want to be done by 6 o'clock. I don't want to go to a listing appointment after 6. So we really try to hone it in. So if we do anything good, it's trying to block our calendar and trying to adhere to it.
Nate, you've got this team. You've had it large. You made it even bigger with the REOs. You shrunk it back down. You've got people still running around. A lot of agents are going to be asking themselves, are you profitable? Are you profitable?
Well, were we profitable last year? I would say no. And that was probably one of the things I alluded to in the beginning of the call. You know, I had people working for me 14 years. I probably carried 3 employees for a year that I shouldn't have as the market was going down. But kind of loyalty to people and friendships, I didn't make good business decisions, so, you know, I had too much overhead, you know, too much overhead. So cutting back this year, in the first quarter of this year, we're extremely profitable. And again, you got to understand, when we went from, you know, the average commission in Phoenix before the turndown was probably north of $10,000 a transaction to, you know, anywhere from $1,500 to, you know, $2,000 in the REO world, we didn't have a lot of profit. You had to do a lot of volume. So once the volume went away, we lost a lot of profit. Now we're on the opposite end where, you know, it's nice to have double-digit commission checks coming in as often as a single-digit commission checks coming in. So, you know, the dollars are flowing again. As far as RE/MAX Professionals, you know, it's profitable. It took about everything we had to keep that thing running for 6 years during, you know, probably the worst turndown that real estate market Arizona has ever seen. But it's a profitable entity, and we continue to hope for additional profits in all areas of our businesses.
Well, you've been in it for 28 years. You've gone through a lot of annual cycles or annual profit cycles, P&Ls. Could you give us an idea what the profit margin is floated amongst it? The reason I'm asking, and by the way, I'm asking this as a percent, not as a dollar amount, but as a percentage of your gross. The reason I'm asking is a lot of people try to make plans. You have this incredible long-term perspective. You've seen where profit has gotten really narrow. How big has it been? What kind of range have you seen in your net profit as a percentage of gross?
You know, again, when you're a bigger volume and you have teams and salaries and advertising budgets and so forth, you know, if we operate at a 50% profit margin, that's not a bad deal, okay? You know, if you're throwing up some high dollars. If you're in a low production, you know, probably, you know, we always say about 10% towards marketing and somewhere in there. Sometimes you push that needle to get to 15, 20% marketing as you're building a business. But, you know, if I can push the needle and if I'm profitable, if I earn 50 cents on every dollar profit, that would be a perfect thing. I think I've been as low as earning, you know, 15 to 20% profit. And, again, I pay myself a salary every month, every week, if you will. So when I'm talking profit, that's after the cost of my salary, my staff salary, all the marketing, advertising, you know, company fees, board dues. You know, the target is to get to 50 for me.
Sure. So you've seen a range somewhere down at the lower end around 15% in a hard year, and have you been able to achieve that upper end, that 50%, or is that the goal?
Yeah, no, I think I have. We have. You know, I don't think I've ever, I can't really say that I've achieved more than 50. And again, economies of scale works, right? If you sell 615 homes or, you know, you sell $75 million in transactions, you know, the commission dollars follow. I would like to be the guy that sells, you know, $100 million houses a year with one or two assistants, because that's a high profitability. Outside your marketing costs, it's no different. But when you're selling, you know, 100 or 500 low-end properties, it's a lot of work, you know. So the nice thing that I see about 2013 for us, our average price will probably triple this year from what we were selling last year. And the dollars follow. I mean, the commission dollars absolutely follow.
Nate, what drives you?
I just like to achieve. You know, I wake up every morning excited about real estate. I have for 28 years. I mean, I haven't really lost that zeal for, you know, the art of the deal. I like to do transactions. I like to meet people. I enjoy money. There never seems to be enough of that. But, you know, and I like to invest. You know, I like to buy properties and have, you know, long-term goals for continued wealth after I'm out of real estate. Some people ask me, why'd you do a real estate company? I think I like to help realtors. I like to help people achieve their dreams. So every day I come to work, you know, my door is usually always open to help our agents and help build. Kind of one of the fascinating things is so many people that were on my team before are now working for our firm, and they have their own teams. And it's so awesome to see somebody that joined your team 10 years ago as a buyer's agent, brand new to the business, to the day that, you know, earning over $250 million in residential sales to themselves plus their team, you know. So it's, I enjoy that. So I think the business is something that I never thought I would do. And when I got in 28 years ago, I've never stopped. Now, I thought I would have probably retired or been able to retire, but then when the real estate turned down, when you're a realtor and you own real estate, you know, you also get bruised and beat up on the values of your properties and the investments you made. So it was a humbling experience, and a lot of lessons were learned. So we could just continue on working hard, working smarter, and growing our net worth every day.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had for you, is whether you were investing yourself in real estate. It sounds like you have, and that you've learned some lessons. First of all, let me just confirm, you are investing in real estate, correct?
Yes, sir. We own a couple commercial buildings, own several rental properties. Haven't been real big into flipping homes, although I have done it. A lot of our agents do it quite regularly. I just didn't have the time, you know. I mean, with all the stuff that I have on my plate, the flipping of the real estate wasn't something that I was real excited doing. I'm trying to get my son more involved in it again, and hopefully the two of us will start investing in some properties and let him kind of take that ball and you know, start doing some other properties. But been investing in real estate for 20 years, I guess. made a lot of money, lost a lot of money, making a lot of money again.
You mentioned there were lessons. Could you share a couple of those lessons about investing in real estate?
Buy low, sell high. You know, it's I think the key is that we should be our own best customer. You know, we're so easy to go find that perfect investment deal that it's just a good buy that we go out to find a buyer for it, and we forget to be the buyer. I think we need to be the buyer. You need to have a plan to buy residential real estate. I prefer income producing. I like rental properties, single family. I do have a few condos as well. But I could tell you, and I don't like to leverage anymore. You know, I have several that are free and clear. And that's the goal, is to get to free and clear properties where, you know, when I do decide to hang up the gloves, if you will, and I want wake-up money, I just want to wake up every morning and have people paying this rent that I can live on and not have to work anymore.
Well, Nate, why do you think you've been so successful?
I think it's just the drive. You know, to me, it's I don't have a choice. You know, I grew up poor, with a single mom raising me. We had no financial future, you know, and again, when I got in real estate at 26, it was after struggling through different jobs and so forth. And once I got into it, it's just something I love doing. I love the achievement. And I think a lot of it for me growing up, maybe not having a father or anybody to kind of pat me on the back and say, you're doing a good job. I think real estate has been that comfort for me, that with all the awards and plaques and all that stuff, that was kind of that pat on the back that maybe I needed and probably still need today. I think everybody does. You know, I think people like to be appreciated for doing something good.
Nate, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
I would tell them to go find a mentor. Okay, find somebody that you admire, that you want to learn from, and go to work for them, if anything. You know, go to work for them and just be the fly on the wall and learn everything you can from that person or many people. You know, maybe you should go and find different people to be your mentors and talk and ask questions. What you'll find is people are willing to share their knowledge. Good people, good salespeople will be willing to share the little nuggets that got them where they are today. I think your tapes have done that. You know, people are willing to share.
Do you think that top agent interviews like the one you're doing right now with Mastermind Agent are valuable?
Oh, definitely so. I built my career back in the day with cassette tapes in my car every day, riding around, either listening to motivational speakers or interviews of top agents. Education you can get from listening to somebody else's mistakes, failures, and successes. It's important. Again, I think I said that earlier, the faster you can implement the ideas you learn, the better off you'll be.
Nate, you said that the faster you can implement, the better off you are. How do you do that? How do you implement quickly? What's your trick?
I can go back to many ideas where I did not do it for whatever reason. Maybe it was money, fear, lack of the ability to make that decision, you know, for whatever reason, based on fear or money, I wouldn't make a decision. What I found, though, sometimes, and it's even in hiring and firing, you know, sometimes in firing somebody, you'll keep somebody on because you don't want to fire them, you know. I mean, at least I have been that way, and it's always a bad mistake. So I think the faster you can make decisions, the better you off you are. Here's an example. Many moons ago, I was listening to Star Power tapes, and all the realtors around the country had a moving van. They were doing moving vans, and I found every reason whatsoever not to do a moving van. You know, I didn't want somebody drinking while they're moving and crashing my truck. I didn't want somebody backing into somebody else. I didn't want to pay for it. Then one day I changed my mind. I said, I'm going to buy a moving van, but I'm not going to use it as allow people to move. I'm going to use it as my real estate assault vehicle, and then that's where all my posts and signs and key machine and my employee would drive it around town, and I get the same benefit with the advertising, but it wasn't used as a moving van. And it worked out real well as a company vehicle. But it took me like 3 years of thinking about it before I did it. And once I did it, it was like night and day. I mean, we started getting results and notoriety. It was a simple thing like that. These color postcards that I'm telling you about, I learned them from Albert 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And of course, in my market, it was something I was going to do. But even when the market was starting to heat up and I was thinking about it, I still didn't do it. And now that I've implemented it, it's working like a charm. You know, it worked in another marketplace. It'll work in yours.
Excellent advice. Nate, I've come to the end of the questions I have prepared for today. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we break?
You know, by listening to interviews of top professionals like the ones that you do, with some of the best real estate minds, take their ideas and you know, set a plan to implement as many of them that you can, and then monitor them just to make sure that you are getting the results. And probably the biggest thing is, if you're doing any type of direct marketing or any type of marketing, don't quit before it starts to work. I think the biggest mistakes agents do is they do it for 2 or 3 months and say, it's not working, and they quit. Sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months, or even a year of direct mail for you to really get the marketing results that you're looking for.
Well, Nate, persistence does pay off. You've led a storied career and been able to change with the times, selling 34 homes your first year as a part-time agent, selling 300 traditional homes year after year, selling 616 REO homes in a single year when your market collapsed, and now transitioning back into traditional sales. Your willingness to take on new ideas and implement them has fostered a super successful career. Now you're teaching your children the real estate lessons you've learned. I predict a bright future. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month. And join us next call when we talk to an agent who sold 410 homes last year. Find out who she is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network, where top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.